Wednesday edition of the Hagman Report on this eve of the Thanksgiving holiday of 2017, which we are so looking forward to. We have Pastor David Langford with us, and we're going to bring him on in just a moment. Just a few quick pieces of information. First, one, don't forget Greenovative is starting their sale tomorrow, Thursday, Thanksgiving, through the end of Cyber Monday, with a 30% discount on all individual products sold at Greenovative. Go to greenovative.com and check out all the packs they got and the bundles, as well as all the individual products, and you can receive a 30% discount off all individual items at greenovative.com. Just use the promo code Hagman. And thank you to Greenovative for the great deals you put together for the Hagman Report audience.
And since, and Joe, and since this kind of kicks off, I'm really not keen on the commercialization of our holidays, Thanksgiving especially. But since this kicks off this shopping spree, you know, shopping with a purpose, there's something to be said about that. In other words, what I'm saying is, we know bad times are coming. Prepare, right? And you can shop with a purpose without being, what is that? Conspicuous consumption. In other words,
I never go to the store just to look around. I always know what I need to get. That, I go, I get it, and
that's
I
right.
leave.
That's right. And I, when I shop, if, well, no, never mind. But, again, I got my turkey. I shot the turkey today. Again, it was in the frozen section, frozen food section. After the gunshot, the shotgun went off, it scared a lot of people, but I got my turkey. I also got a citation, but, hey, nonetheless, but here's, I just want to say this before we bring Pastor Langford on. Ready-made resources, go there, shop, prepare. If you want to buy something for the upcoming holidays, make it purposeful. And I'm just saying that because we know bad times are coming. We know things are coming. Who knows? Is tomorrow the Thanksgiving Day holiday here in America? Will tomorrow be the last normal Thanksgiving we have? It could very well be. So think ahead, and not just about yourself. Think about your family. You've got that responsibility. Ready-made resources. Go to ready-made resources. Contact Bob Griswold, 800-67-3809. And you can go to our homepage and click on the link. Thanks to Tech Eric. For ready-made resources. And lastly, before I just want to give a personal thank you today, right now, to everyone in studio today. I'm gonna give thanks to Joe as for being a great co-host. I want to give thanks to John for being a great producer, and I want to give thanks, my personal thanks, and public thanks to Eric the Tech for being such a great. Not just a great tech, but a great son-in-law, a great addition to the family. And, of course, my daughter Jackie works in the office with my wife. I want to thank all of you working very hard to make this operation what it is, because without you, we couldn't be here. And most importantly, our guests, such as Pastor David Langford, and you heard St. John Hunt, people like that make the show. Our guests make the show. But we would be nothing without our listeners and our viewers, and a very special, heartwarming, heartfelt thanks to everyone listening to this broadcast or everyone viewing this broadcast. Lastly, hey, I know, guys, your wives are going to be up early tomorrow, putting the turkeys in the oven, preparing the turkeys, right? Let's help your wife out, will you? Lift the turkeys for her. Clean the guts out, you know, the stuff inside. You stick your hand in there. Instead of your wife doing it. Help her out and carry the turkey from the oven or to the sink to the oven or whatever you gotta do. Don't make her do that. And when you do that, bring along the Doug Hagman radio show to play in the background and listen to tomorrow's broadcast, which will be live, as well as John and Joe's Hagman Daily Show. That's all I've got to say. I don't mean to take up any more time from Pastor David Langford. Let's bring him on, the voice of evangelism. Pastor?
Hey, gentlemen, how are you guys tonight?
Fantastic.
Doing great.
Great.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, first of all.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you guys and all the listeners tonight. It is a time, certainly without a doubt, to be thankful. Go ahead, Doug.
No, indeed. I you know, if you're living in America today, and you are, I feel, and I know this is overused, but I feel so blessed by so many things, by family, by friends, by a great, environment a great job, and by being here, by being an American, and of, above all, by being blessed by God. I just, you know, those people who, I just feel blessed, and I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for you. So that's all I was going to say.
Well, you know, I want to read an article, because we are blessed, and regretfully, we don't know how to appreciate our blessedness. We don't know how to be thankful for our blessedness, but we've all seen the North Korean soldier trying to escape North Korea. And of course he did get across, and some South Korean soldiers pulled him into a place of safety. But it said parasitic worms and a chronic liver infection identified in a North Korean soldier who dramatically defected are providing clues into health conditions inside the secretive rogue state, experts said Wednesday. The soldier was shot up to 5 times and needed extensive amount of surgery. The defector, whose last name is O, requires surgery treatment for his wounds, and including extensive surgery. Doctors discovered a large number and multiple forms of parasitic worms. Some of the parasites removed were as long as 10 inches, according to the South Korean doctors who treated him. One type of worm they discovered is typically found in dogs. In my 20 years as a surgeon, I have only seen something like this in a medical textbook, Lee Kuk-jong, the man surgeon, told reporters on November the 15th. At another briefing Wednesday, Lee revealed the soldier also had hepatitis B, which is a serious risk factor for liver cancer. There's much more to the story, and they're also showing these worms, these parasites that are look like they're as large as in diameter as a nickel to a quarter, and over 10 inches long. And what that tells you is the enormity of human feces they're using as fertilizer in North Korea. And what I find astounding about this man's willingness to risk his life to escape that. This man, without a doubt, every day is brainwashed and telling him he's living in a utopia. And over the other side, in South Korea, it's so detrimental to him in every way. Health, life, food, clothing, shelter, everything is just off the charts in a negative manner. But you know, it spoke to my heart. They could not get into his mind to that degree to make him believe that it was much worse in South Korea than it was in North Korea. So he took it upon himself to risk his life. And no doubt the man may have been married. He may have had children. I'm confident he had a mom and a dad. But I thought about us as Christians. You know, the enemy will do so much to literally physically try to brainwash us and make us believe negative things, but something deep down inside of him. And I would not doubt if this man at all was a Christian. He was a believer. Because something greater inside of him told him, no, it's better in South Korea than it is here in North Korea. There's more peace, prosperity, there's blessing, whatever the case might be, but there was something innate deep down inside of him that convinced him there had to be something better, because he risked his life. I mean, they shot at him with pistols and AK-47s. I mean, they were trying to kill the man. But it spoke to my heart as a Christian. They couldn't get to him. He had hope. He had something deep down inside of him that gave him hope, that somehow led him to believe that there has to be something better over on the other side. And that's why, as a Christian today, America has been so blessed, and we all should be so thankful, because we weren't born in a nation like that. We were born in America, and I know we have our problems, and needless to say, we have a plethora of problems. But to think tomorrow that most of us can sit down and we can have dinner with our family, we can reminisce of yesterday, yestertimes, Doug, when we were younger, we can reminisce those things when the kids were little, etc. And these people in these other countries, they don't have that blessedness. They don't have an environment where they can really be thankful, other than as a Christian, they can thank God for the redemption that Jesus provided on the cross. And that's why we need to understand that as America, we need to be so much more thankful that we have the liberties to come, to go, to do as we please. And I know we're getting more and more encroached upon every day. The beast system is doing its thing. It's working, working in the dark of the night. And every time we turn around, there's another encroachment in our lives. But we still have freedom. We still can worship our God. And that's why right now at this particular time in our history, this is an important time with Donald Trump. As I said, I believe it was last week, I spoke about the number 45, meaning preservation. I don't know how long this preservation is going to last. I watched the imbecile LeVar Ball, who was so unwilling to give Donald Trump any kind of thanks for helping to get his son out of jail in China.
And as Pastor, I said there,
yes, sir.
If I can just jump in on this real quick.
Sure.
One of the things that's interesting about this story with China is these three basketball players from UCLA got caught shoplifting in China, which carries a prison sentence of 5 to 10 years. Now, one of the boys' fathers is this LeVar Ball. I have no idea who this guy is except for reading about him the last few days. But what Donald Trump did during his Asia trip was get these three students released back to the United States instead of having to go to jail for the next 5 to 10 years. And the news networks took issue with Trump asking for a thank you for getting them out of jail. But instead, he was met with this LeVar Ball making claims that Trump didn't do anything, he's not going to say thank you to him. He even went as far as to do some kind of satire piece on CNN with Chris Cuomo, where they went back and forth for 5 to 10 minutes, you know, asking each other if they were going to thank each other. It was really strange, but it is this attitude of ungratefulness, and it goes much further than that. As you said, it's a hatred thing.
Well, it's prophetic. This is what struck me, whether that was satire or what, I don't know. But what struck me was how adamant and how unyielding he was to give any kind of thanks. But, you know, Paul in 2 Timothy 3, verse 2 said, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud." Now, LeVar Bell, he's a boaster and he's a proud man because he's not willing to thank God. Then Paul said they would be blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and then unthankful and unholy. So we see the spirit of unthankfulness, an absolute unwillingness to give any kind of thanks. And, you know, people say, well, it was beneath the presidency to tweet or do anything. This man is not politically correct. It's like I said in Branson, I held up the Word of God. I said, this Bible will never, ever be politically correct. It never will be. I don't care what the world does, what the world says, no matter what transpires, no matter what takes place, the Word of God will never, ever become politically correct. And this is what's chapping everybody about Donald Trump, even with his little tweets. It's just grit in their crawl, and it bothers them so terribly, because he just, you know, he's a maverick. He shoots from the hip. He does as he pleases, and it doesn't matter what the repercussions might be. But what I recognize there is the truth, because the man will not say thank you. Because see, that would be demonstrating an act of humility to have to thank the president of these United States. Now, I promise you, if he had been treated like Warmeyer, the young man that went to prison in North Korea, and Donald Trump had gotten him out, he would be on his knees thanking him, had he been able to save his life, of course. But this is what proud and haughty and hard hearts do. They refuse to be thankful. They refuse to have a heart of gratitude, a heart of gratefulness, rendering thankfulness to God. You know, God gave us rulers. You know, I know many people misunderstand Romans chapter 13, but the powers that be, Paul said, they are ordained of God, whether they're good at that time in our lives or whether they're evil. Why? Because we get what we deserve as a nation. Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. They are ordained, they have been established by God. Now, if it's wicked leaders, God says, that's what you deserve. If people have prayed, and I believe many did pray, and we got somebody there that's demonstrating some semblance of Christianity, that's ordained of God. And so Paul went on to say that rulers, they're not supposed to be a terror to good works, but to evil. And the leadership that we have had for years has been for terror. But rulers are to be against terror. They're to be against evil. But they haven't been like that because God gave us those wicked leaders because that's what we deserve. I mean, this nation, and I know people say, well, there's worse nations, and that's true. But when you measure the debasedness according to the knowledge, look at the people in North Korea. They don't have the right to pull out a Bible on Main Street and just stand there and read it. But you can go anywhere in America and stand on Main Street and just sit there and read. You don't have to preach or read it aloud. Just read it. You can't do that in North Korea. They'll put you in prison. They may even kill you. And the point I'm trying to say is it is a privilege. It is a blessing that we should be thankful for. I'm glad I wasn't born in North Korea. I'm glad I was born in America. I'm glad that my heritage was one of Christianity. I know the truth, whether I live it or not. That's a different story. But I have the opportunity to know the truth. People in those countries, they don't have an opportunity to know the truth. That's why, to me, it was so powerful, this man risking his life on foot. There's been several who have flown some of those old, I think, MiG jets out of North Korea to some of the Air Force bases in South Korea. We know a lot of them infiltrate into China. A lot of times China sends them back. But my point is, there was something innate, something way deep down inside of that man, that he was willing to risk his life. Now, hepatitis C, eat up with parasites, but there was something, there was an impetus deep down in him. But I have to believe, I don't know the man, I don't know anything about the man, I have to believe somehow he had faith in God. There was something deep down inside of him that said, there is an opportunity, but you got to get to the purported promised land. You got to get over there. Life is better. Life is good. Life is blessed. And somehow he believed that, whether he was given a gospel tract or somebody in his family, mom, dad, grandparents told him about Jesus Christ. But there had to be something extraordinary deep in his heart to make him risk his life like that. And then we see on the flip side, LeVar Ball, I'm not thanking anybody. He said, now how he put Trump put my son on Air Force One and brought him home, I might have rendered a thankfulness attitude, but he didn't do that. And I thought the smug arrogancy and the pride and the disdain that people have. Listen, anytime anyone helps you, you need to be thankful. I don't care how small it is or how large of a blessing it is or aid or assistance. We should be thankful for that and thank God for that. You know, people have a profuse misunderstanding of who Jesus is. When you go back and you read the 23rd chapter of Matthew, Jesus, he made a lot of derogatory statements against the religious crowd. He called them Pharisees. He called them hypocrites. He called them blind guides. He called them fools. He called them blind. He called them serpents. He called them a generation of vipers. I mean, you know, he was not this passive, you know, what would Jesus do, Savior? He just said it like it was. And see, people don't like that. That's what they don't like about Donald Trump. That's why they don't like it, because he may tweet something. He's not attempting whatsoever to be politically correct. And I assure you, there's an element of thankfulness in him, because anybody that has any sense at all in any kind of a relationship with Christ knows you didn't get where you are by happenstance or by accident. If you ever ride down a country road and you see a turtle sitting on top of a fence post, no, he didn't get there by himself. Somebody put him there. Joe, Doug, myself, everyone listening tonight, you are where you are, you are what you are by the grace of God. God intervenes in the most wicked men's lives when he so chooses to intervene, like Pharaoh. He's a fine example. We look at Nebuchadnezzar. God, when he gets ready, he can move in anyone's life and demand indirectly that they acknowledge he is God. What did Pharaoh say? Who is this God that I should obey? Because the Pharaoh that was alive under the leadership of Joseph was dead and gone, because Israel was in bondage 430 years. So Israel grew as a nation, but they literally grew into bondage, and all of these other pharaohs that grew up or came up after that pharaoh, Ramses, I forget which one it was, but whatever, which one he was dead and gone, so these other ones didn't know Jehovah. And so when Moses went down to Pharaoh's courts and said, God said, let my people go, his rebuttal was, who is this God that I should obey? And so what God did, God brought judgment on every one of their gods in the land. You know, they believed that frogs had deity. Well, God, well, guess what God did? He sent frogs. He sent lice. He sent hail. He sent blood. He did all of the. He was attacking all of their gods. And of course, the last one, Pharaoh's son, would have been his predecessor. He would have followed him. And so that's why God said, because you touched my firstborn Israel, I'm going to touch all of your firstborn. And so every person that had a male child, and Pharaoh did, God took him out. And that was the linchpin, per se, that suffered Pharaoh to let the people go. But then his heart became so hard, he went after them. And this is why men that think they can finagle with God is absurd. I quote this verse so many times, Revelation 17:17, for God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will. You know, we oftentimes want to think we're independent, that we only do what we want to do. Sometimes we may get angry, and we may be forceful, and we're saying, I'm going to do it this way, you know, whether it's just a bigger hammer or a bigger two before. But see, God can put it into a man's heart, he said, to fulfill his will. If you go back and you read the 11th chapter of Romans, It is a scary, scary thing when you look at the deity and the majesty of God, what God is able to do. He can make one man a vessel fitted for wrath. He can make another man a vessel fitted unto destruction. Why? Because he's God. You know, I think Romans 11, it's Romans chapter 9. In that chapter, Paul goes through a litany of things that God does, and he talks about. There are some vessels of wrath that are fitted for destruction, and there are some that are fitted for honor. And so God honored the man Moses and dishonored Pharaoh. Both of them were men. But God said, I'm going to harden his heart. You know, I'm going to cause his heart to become calloused. And I watched this LeVar Bell, and I think, sir, your heart is becoming calloused. Because he doesn't realize he's going to stand before God one day, and every knee will bow, the Bible says. Romans 14:11 says, it is written as I live, saith the Lord. Every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess unto God, so that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And it doesn't matter who we are. You know, there will be no big I's and little U's in judgment. You know, if you're a janitor or you have been a president of the United States, the playing field is level. At the foot of the cross, the ground is level. There's no one who has authority or lordship but one, and that's Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Jesus said, you know, that he said, the Father has given all judgment into my hand. I'm going to be the one to mete out every measure of judgment. John 5:22, Jesus said, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." Now, he's going to give him that authority, and then we're all going to be subjected to that. And that's why he said, "Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess." There'll be no one at the bar of Christ. No one will have to be told, "Hey, pal, you need to bow down. You know, you need to get on your knees. This is God here. You need to humble yourself and bow your knee." No one will have to be told that. It will be that innate feeling that says, "You better get down, because this deity is for real. This is not a joke. This is not a flam flam. This is real." Why? Because the power of God is so awesome, and we'll be in His presence, you know. And when we're in His presence in that degree, I don't care if you are a saint, you're still going to be humbled and broken because of His presence. It's so powerful. David said the mountains, they melt like wax at His presence. You look at the great Rocky Mountains and then think about comparing that to a huge block of wax and then turning the heat up on it and melting it. That's how awesome God is in His deity and majesty. And so many times in our lives, and one of the things that happens to us as Christians, we get in a place, a state of, we have this continuation of negativity. You know, every day we get up, there's just something wrong. Something does not work out. Something does not flow well. Something breaks down. We get a bill in the mail. It's just negative, 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 negative. And the only way to negate that is to be thankful. That's how we negate the negativity from taking hold of ourselves. Because it's easy. It's easy for all of us at one time or another. When things begin to kind of pile up on us, it's easy to get negative and start saying things. And, you know, the sermon I preached out in Bozeman, "All these things are against me." But there was nothing against Jacob. It was all for his good. It was all for his blessing. But he couldn't see that because of where he was. And so he began to make false statements like, "I'm going to go to my grave, an old gray-haired, white-headed man, dying in bereavement and brokenness." But that's not how he died. But that's what he was saying. That's what he was speaking. That's what was in his heart because of the negativity. "Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and you will take Benjamin away." He said, "All these things are against me." There's some people listening tonight right now. It's Thanksgiving, and you're home alone. And that's not trying to be funny or facetious here. You're by yourself. Maybe you're in a state of bereavement. You just lost a spouse. Maybe it's divorce. It's numerous things can happen, and you feel like you're all alone and nobody cares for you. That's not true. That's what the devil wants you to say. That's what the devil wants you to believe. But God said, "I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. But I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world." You know, this is a hard time on people who are single or going through a divorce, going through a separation, a loved one has passed away. From now till New Year's, it's a difficult time for a lot of people. But Philippians 4:6, Paul said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And I love what he says in verse 11. "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." And the key word there in Philippians 4:11 is learned. "For I have learned." God just did not gift Paul. He did not bless Paul with this contentment. He grew into this place and state of contentment. For he said, "I have learned." When you learn something, it is a process. It is the comprehension of understanding. a multiplication table. You have to get it in your head. You have to get it in your mind. Once you get it, you know without a doubt, 4 times 4 is 16. 5 times 5 is 25. But getting there is the learning process, and some people get it real quick, some people don't. It's a process. And Paul said, I've learned. In whatsoever state, whatever condition, however I find myself, I am going to be content. Then he said in verse 12, Philippians 4:12, I know both how to be abased. I know how to be so low that you got to look up to touch bottom. I know how to abound. In other words, I've been exalted. I've been made to sit in heavenly places. I've seen it when every day was sunshiny and the cool breeze was blowing across my face. But he said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things. So no matter where he found himself, when he said everywhere and in all things, wherever he found himself and whatever the condition was that he found himself in that particular place, he said, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, how in the world can a man, when he's full, feel like he's hungry? And when he's abounding, to feel like he suffers need? The only time you could be in that state, which is a state of neutrality, it's a state of contentment. I'm instructed both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. When you are thankful, that neutrality, being able to be in both states at the same time, whether the state is actually in all reality, it's down, not up, but Paul said, I've been commanded, I've been instructed, that when I'm being on the very bottom, I gotta believe in a sense spiritually, I'm still on the top. When I'm full, not hungry, I'm empty. I mean, he's just trying to show us, and then he concludes by saying, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Why was he able to do that? He said, "Because Christ, he is strengthening me in these places and the condition and the state that I may find myself." And I know I talked about last week. I talked about murmuring the week before that about the number 45, because all of us, as I said last week, we're all guilty of murmuring, complaining. We just don't like where we are. You know, God, if you'll just get me out of here to this other place, I'll praise you, I'll magnify you, I'll thank you, I'll bless you, but I can't do it while I'm here. And then Paul is saying, no, wherever you find yourself, you can still bless the Lord. I love Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. How do we enter in? We enter in with thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. And bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. That speaks volumes. In other words, there will never come a generation that will not have the opportunity to experience the truth. His truth endureth to all generations. In other words, generation to generation to generation to generation. Now, more and more people are spurning and rejecting the truth, but the truth is still there if you want to know it, just like we still have our Bibles. We can know the truth if we want to. Again, it is a choice. People oftentimes, you know, ask me to pray for them, which we do. My wife and I, we prayed for everyone this morning and prayed for you, Doug and Joe, and your wives, your spouses. We pray because that's important, to pray one for another. But I read something years ago. I don't know where I read it, but it was an acronym for the book of Acts. the book of Acts, in the New Testament, ACTS. ACTS. And this acronym, I don't know where I read it, but here's what it talked about, how to spend 20 minutes in prayer. People say, well, I can't pray more than 5 minutes, and I'm done. And the person who was writing this was trying to encourage people to spend more time in prayer. So he took the word ACTS, and he turned it into an acronym. And A was for adoration, to come before God and adore him. And adoration. And the other one was C. What is C? C is for confession. Whether we have to confess sin. You say, well, I didn't have any sin that day to confess. Okay. Confess that you just need his help. That you need his aid. You need his assistance. You need his presence. You need him because you're going into a business deal or contract today, and you want the mind, the wisdom of God to know how to enter into that. Confess, God, I need you. You know, because we can't do this by ourselves. John 15, verse 5, Jesus said, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You know, we all have that tendency to say, I'm going to go do this. Jesus said, you can do nothing without me, because our next breath will literally come from the Lord. He confers life. And then T is thanksgiving. All of us are way, way behind in giving thanks to the Lord for all that he's done for us. All of us, some of us sidewinders, we used to be some sidewinders. God spared our lives so many times. And it's just the mercy of God. It's just the mercy of God that some of us tonight are alive. Because if it hadn't been for the mercy of God, the devil would have killed some of us and took us out. And we'd be in a place of torment right now, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But see, God was merciful, and so many times we fail to thank God. And then, of course, the last letter there, S, it's for supplication. Now, what is supplication? To supplicate. Supplication, to supplicate, means you're praying for somebody else. You're calling somebody else's name in prayer. Ephesians 6 and 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Paul talked about praying for other people. You know, so many times we get down to pray, And all we pray about is ourselves and what we need God to do. God, you need to do this. God, you need to do that. God, you need to move this. God, you need to move that. We're just always hammering God what he needs to do. But what we fail to do is pray one for another. And James 5 and 16 said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So that's supplicating. It's praying one for another. Throughout the scriptures, Paul admonished different churches under different circumstances to pray for him and to pray for his fellow laborer that may be laboring with him wherever they were on a mission trip. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Now watch this, verse 11. Ye also, helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Paul was letting the church at Corinth know, your prayers are helping us to get the gospel to the next city, to the next country, to the next nation, wherever God would have them to go. He said, your prayers are getting us there, and there will be thanks giving by many on, because of what we have done. But you have been the impetus, the power behind it for God to get us through the perils, the dangers, the tolls, and the snares, that we might go preach Jesus Christ to him crucified. And, you know, I hate to be critical tonight because it's a time of thanksgiving, but so many ministries are only preaching to the people on the pew, and the sermon is not about Jesus. The sermon is about the person on the pew. You know, the power of I am. You know, get the focus off yourself and either get it on somebody else or get it on Jesus Christ. But get the light off of me. Get the light off of you. Get it on someone else, because you don't have to look far, folks, for someone that's always in a far worse condition than yourself. As I said tonight, that man, oh, that North Korean who risked his life to get to South Korea, kind of reminded me of the Israel and the Exodus, the Promised Land. That was the type of Promised Land for that man. And I'm telling you, I just, in my heart, I just know there was something deep inside of him that was abiding in him, telling him, if you can just get there. And now, having gotten there, he's going to have the freedom to worship if he so chooses, to be a Christian, whatever the case might be. And our lives are under many dangers, toils, and perils, and snares, and all sorts of troubles. But we endure, we hold on. And in the midst of it all, we thank God. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God and Christ Jesus concerning you." Now, I know it's hard to thank God when every measure of opposition is trying to beat us down. But see, that will confuse the devil when he's beating you up and you're still saying, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I'm giving you thanks, for I know right now this is the will of God and Christ Jesus for my life." And many times, it's a life of suffering. It's a life of toil. It's a life of adversity. It's a life of pain. But as I get older, you know, that too is innate within human beings, especially Christians. As they get older and they near the end of the pilgrimage, they don't look at death like they did when they were 20 years old, because there was too much life. Too much life, physical life in the body to think about death, because you're too young. There's just too much in you. There's too much effervescence. But as you get older and things begin to slow down and you lose a step and you can't walk as fast as you used to, there's something innate that begins to mentally, emotionally prepare. And you see it is, you know, one day I'm going to find that eternal rest, that eternal peace, My place of abode. There'll never be any more storms. There'll never be any more tempest and darkness and lightning and thundering and billowing clouds and tempestuous waves in my life. It'll all be gone. And that's the hope. That's the hope that this man had, and his body was diseased with parasites and hepatitis, and I think he was shot 5 times. But something in him said, "You just got to get over there. You got to make it." And that's the disposition that we should take as Christians and say, I'm determined. I'm going to make it. I'm going to endure whatever comes. No one in the Gospels, no one in the Testament, either old or new, never said this was easy. They never told us this was like riding a merry-go-round. Life is real. There is adversity. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour. He's always on the prowl, saying, "Are you vulnerable today? Are you vulnerable tomorrow? Are you vulnerable next week?" He's seeking whom he may devour. And that's why he's described, Peter said, as a lion. He's seeking to devour those who he can. But when you walk with God and you allow the Word of God to have residence in your heart, or you just, you know, I spend a lot of time in my Bible. I read a modest amount, I would say, of books and other things, but 90% of my time is spent in the Scriptures, because There's something powerful about the Word of God. It's a living book. It's a live book. It's not dead. It's living. And it's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1, verse 1. It's Jesus Christ. And David said, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. There's just power in the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing sunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Spirit of God will bring to your remembrance the Word of God that you've hid in your heart. You may have forgotten that word, but in a time of distress, a time of turmoil, the Spirit of God can quicken that verse. You may not know the chapter. You may not know the book. That's irrelevant. You just know the word. And that word will rise up in your heart. And that word is a type of Christ. And Psalm 68, verse 1, David said, Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. If it's God's enemy, it's your enemy. If it's your enemy, it's God's enemy. And so when David said, Let God arise and the enemies be scattered, let that word arise in you because that word is God. And then that word can have preeminence. And that word can have dominion and be dominant in your life and push back the oppression, push back the fear, push back the anxiety, push all of these things back. See, darkness can, you know, when the sun starts setting, everything just starts getting darker and darker. Once the sun goes down, it's dark. It's just dark. And that's how Satan wants us to be. But the Son of God, the light of his word, David said in Psalms 119, verse 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You'll never walk in darkness if you walk with Christ. You know, John 8:12, he said, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I want to say that again. The light of life. This light gives life. We talk about photosynthesis, algae and the sunshine and the water and how all this works. The light of Jesus Christ gives us life. And that's why we need it so much. John 1:5, the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. When that radiant light begins to shine in your heart, in your life, it's like an effervescence, as I said. You'll begin to grow, and the darkness, of course, is dispelled and driven back. And you can say, hey, I see now. I see it clear as day. You know, this is the enemy. This is the trap or whatever he's trying to use against you. And then, because you can see, that gives you even more reason to be thankful and give thanksgiving unto the Lord. And, you know, that's what tomorrow is about. And I pray tomorrow that your time with your family, don't forget to pray. And you've heard me say this, I don't put a peanut butter cracker in my mouth without thanking God for it. Now, some people think that's crazy, and that's okay. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say you have to pray over everything, but I want to be thankful for everything. And even a peanut butter cracker, thank God, because it's food, it is sustenance, and God gave me the wherewithal to secure it, to procure it, to get it, and I want to be thankful for that. You know, I believe that people would become more thankful, their lives would not be in such disarray. They would not be nearly as discouraged because they wouldn't spend all this time, you know, murmuring and complaining, but they would thank the Lord. They would bless the Lord. You know, Psalms 103, David said, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. That word benefits there in the Hebrew means his treatments, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. That's why that song that Andre Crouch, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. He was just inspired by Psalms 103 to put the music to it and sing that psalm. He sang that psalm. The psalms are really about worship. There are 150 of them. And it's the largest book in the Bible. And psalms are precious. I struggle going to churches, visiting churches today, and I'll tell you why. Because the music is no longer godly. Because Paul said in Ephesians 5 and 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You read Psalms 103 or you sing it. It's a type of thanksgiving, saying, God, I thank you that you have blessed my soul. You've blessed all that's within me. You've blessed my going in. You've blessed my going out. You've blessed me in the city. You've blessed me in the field. You have forgiven me of all my iniquities. You've healed the diseases, the infirmities, the maladies in my body. And you've redeemed my life from destruction. All of us were on the road to destruction. But he redeemed us from that destruction. And he crowneth us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Psalms 147, verse 11 says, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him and in those that hope in his mercy. There's not a day that I don't thank God for his mercy, because mercy can cover anything and everything that Satan may try to bring and wield against your life. That's why we need to be thankful. I just want you to be thankful tomorrow as you bless your meal tomorrow. Bless the Lord. Thank him. Thank him that he loved you so much to draw you out from sin and darkness. Some of you listening to me, that's why I know the power of God is real. You didn't know anything about Jesus. You may have been raised in Hinduism. You may have been a full, devout Catholic and believe some things that were not correct. But God in his sovereignty said, I'm going to show you the truth. I'm going to show you the way. I'm going to show you that there's something here that's more than what you're being told. And only God can do that. And only God can reach out and touch someone that's in that environment. Say, hey, let me show you the real way. Let me show you the real truth. And that's like, you know, some Muslims coming to the knowledge of Christ. Christ coming to them in dreams and visions. It's the mercy of God that he just says, I'm going to choose you and I'm going to choose you. And that's why we ought to be thankful for his mercy. Amen.
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 Wow. What an on-point, powerful message for this Thanksgiving Eve. Pastor, your words resonate, you know, with me, and I know with so many people.
This is what, you know, kind of right along the lines of what we talked about on our daily show.
Yeah.
There was a video by a YouTube channel, Prager University, that talked about the mindset of being happy and what are some of the traits and characteristics of people who are happy most of the time versus those that are unhappy. And one of the main ones that was showcased was gratitude. People who are grateful for what they have seem to live life in a much more happy state of mind, where people who are ungrateful are always complaining and never seem to be happy.
But the component of that, though, Joe, is to extract yourself from the chaos. You need to rid your life. If I'm hearing Pastor Langford correctly, chaos, daily chaos, gets in the way of that gratitude and thankfulness, right? Is that
sure? It does. That's exactly what Satan is, the master of chaos, and he wants to get you off track, but you won't be thankful for anything.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, I preached in a lot of black churches, and they will, you'll hear them say, thank God for waking me up this morning and getting me started on my way. You know, because hey, if we don't wake up, that means we're dead, folks.
I'd hate like heck to wake up dead tomorrow. Okay, that's
or
maybe
be,
not. I don't know. But
you'll already be going home, Doug.
Amen to that. Yeah, exactly. I used to say that as a joke, but Not so much anymore, especially, you know, especially now. But my goodness, how you know, Pastor, we look how quickly we've arrived at Thanksgiving 2017. It just seems like time is really passing so quickly, and here we are, you know, another Thanksgiving. It just seems like yesterday. I can almost remember having you on last year around this time, and it's just, I don't know, time is really, seems like it's really going quickly.
It has accelerated. Go ahead, Joe.
You traveling anywhere tomorrow, or you get to stay home and have the family come over?
I'm going to go with my wife to her mother's. There'll be about 40 or 50 people over there. She got a large family. I want to say one thing before we leave. I want people to be very thankful, because I'm telling you, there's a lot of things getting ready to happen that's not good. There's too much going on, and God will not judge the church without first judging the world. And we're seeing the politicians, we're seeing the media, they're being exposed. But I think the next move will be God will begin to make exposure in the church, the body of Christ. He cannot judge the world he cannot judge the church first without judging the world. He must judge the world first, and then he'll start working on the church. Because they're in darkness, we're supposed to be in light. So I think people need to get ready for a very interesting time here in the very near future with all the things on the politicians, the media, Hollywood. I think you're going to see more exposure than you've ever seen before. So get ready for a very unsettling time, folks.
And we thought we've seen a lot lately, but more to follow, more to come is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Pastor, that brings us to the end of the program. I want to just thank you so much for being part of our platform, part of our, such an integral part of our show, and the messages that you bring. They're always well received and certainly much anticipated. And this is, again, tonight's broadcast is no exception. So thank you, and we wish the best, a very happy and safe Thanksgiving for you and your wife and your family tomorrow. You'll be in our thoughts and prayers. And
amen.
Thank you. All right.
I pray God bless every one of us. Until next time, take
amen.
Care. Have a good night.
Bye, Pastor. TheVoiceOfEvangelism.com, folks. TheVoiceOfEvangelism.com. That's where you can find Pastor David Langford. He's my spiritual mentor when I need advice. Biblical, sound biblical advice, that's who I turn to. And you have your own, perhaps, but I'll tell you, I find myself, the older I get, the more I need that guidance. But, again, we thank you on behalf of Joe, on behalf of John, the producer, Eric, the tech, Jackie, my daughter, who works in the office, my wife, and Lady, the studio dog, who's actually looking forward to tomorrow. And she knows. Let me tell you, you have a dog or a cat, but a dog. They know. Okay, I'm telling you, they know. Do us a favor.
With all that food also comes all the company.
That's right.
That gets them all riled up. And
yeah. But do us a favor. Take my show tomorrow, which will be live at 9. Take my show with you when you're out there cooking. And Joe and John's show when you're out there cooking at 2 from 2 to 3. Global Star Radio Network. Blog Talk Radio. Follow on Blog Talk on BTR. Click the follow button for our various shows. The flagship show, Hagman Report, will be dark tomorrow night. Back on Friday, Dr. Ted Brewer, we're going to be talking about a lot of news items, as well as he's got some pretty interesting things on nutrition that I know ahead of time. You're not going to want to miss Friday's show. Heck with Walmarts or whatever you. What do people do? You know,
they're already lined up outside of Best Buy.
Oh, come on. Really?
Yep, it's on Drudge.
I remember the Furbies.
Yeah.
Didn't people laugh or
oh, they lined up for the Furbies.
All right. Hey, whatever. But, folks, until tomorrow, we're going to be back, again, with our specific shows. The, flagship show will be dark, but may God bless each and every one of you. And give your husband, your wife, hey, your dog, your cat, your bird, give them a hug. Whatever. All right.